Well, hey, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
I can't believe we're here today to talk about the series finale.
Yeah, party of one. Oh my gosh, it just dawned on me because this is Monday. It aired on Thursday. I was out of town officiating a wedding, so I didn't even butthole anything because I didn't want to look at anything because I didn't want to read it because I didn't want any spoilers. So just some quick buttholes. We have a butthole from Cato saying that the political guy Carrie dates in season 3 was also running for comptroller. Apparently he was more skilled than LTW's husband, Rude. And we did know that. So that's good.
We did. I feel like comptroller is that thing that you use when you want it to be something important, but something that no one cares about.
Yes.
And not that we shouldn't care about our comptroller, but you know what I mean. Yeah.
And I think those are all the buttholes I have, unless you have one.
Well, I have one. I have a second butthole from our friend and listener, Steve, but I feel sort of bad because it's somewhat incomplete because he reached out to say the reason why he knows how to pronounce L-A-N-V-I-N and the reason why we should also know is because it's mentioned in Kiss of the Spider Woman. Now, I'm going to totally confess that I don't know where it's mentioned in Kiss of the Spider Woman. I assumed it was in Dressing Them Up, but I listened to that entire song and I don't hear it in there anywhere. So I'm sorry, Steve, this is a partial butthole on your behalf.
Yeah, and I don't know Kiss of the Spider Woman that well.
Oh, interesting. I do know. I mean, once upon a time, I knew it really well. Like, I was a big fan of the Vanessa Williams recording of it. And I'm looking forward to the movie.
Yeah, I don't know her that well.
This is you inserting the gif of I don't know her from Mariah Carey.
Yeah,
that I like
which
to send
we
all the
use
time.
Often. Mike actually uses it quite a bit.
I love it.
He uses it when he does know her, but he just doesn't feel like talking about it, too.
Yeah, a lot of times that's what it is.
He'll just insert it there. Yeah, so that's all I have. And I am ready to talk about Party of One where they don't use the Brandi Carlile song.
They do not. Yeah, we're here today to talk about Party of One. This debuted August 14th, 2025, directed by MPK, written by MPK and Susan Fales. Sorry, written by MPK ampersand Susan Fales Hill. I like to be specific there. There's no previously on. That's the first thing that I notice.
Oh, okay. I usually skip them, so I didn't really notice it.
And we start with an elevator opening. I guess this is like a hot pot restaurant in Flushing called, I'm not going to pronounce it correctly. Do you want to try to pronounce it?
Heidelau.
Great.
I'm trying. It could be incorrect.
Yeah, she's led to a table and given a tablet that features brined lava tofu and fresh tofu skin.
And here's a few things. She was like, I was just walking by and it seemed interesting. I don't know what Carrie was in Flushing just walking by for. And I'm not saying that there's no reason to go to Flushing. If you are in New York City and you have not been to Flushing, you should totally go. It's incredible. But it's a really, from where Carrie lives, it would be probably an hour and a half at least
yeah,
for her to get to.
A very long trek. I'm going to guess that we're supposed to pretend like this is on the Upper East Side somewhere.
Oh.
That we're not really at this restaurant. This is standing in. Because there are many of these. Because what I thought it was is I thought it was like Mongolian barbecue or like hibachi kind
oh,
of restaurant.
No. Yeah, it's a hot pot.
And those are all over the place. But that's kind of what the tables look like to me.
Yeah.
So
no,
I think we're supposed to imagine that it's that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, it's a hot pot place in Flushing. They give her an iPad, which makes sense in this restaurant because there are robot waiters and it looks like the iPad sends directly to the kitchen. I get confused. Mike and I go to a Mexican restaurant that has now switched to iPad menus and it makes no sense because you still order from the waiter and now I just have a computer to look at.
It's very odd. I don't really get this. And I know that it kind of became a thing, especially in COVID-y times when we were having less contact. But then there's still a waiter that comes to the table.
You don't do anything from the iPad.
Right. And this server then suggests like what she could order, but then says she should pick two of them. It's a very odd setup. I wouldn't understand what I was doing here either.
Well, honestly, I do identify with Carrie on this because I get overwhelmed in settings where I don't know the rules.
Yeah.
I've talked about this on here before. I have OCD. One of the major things with my OCD is like responsibility and rule breaking. So it can really prevent me from doing a lot of things, including trying new experiences. Luckily, like Mark will be like, nope, we're going to go. And I'm just going to be the one that asks the questions. The server tells her to get spicy shrimp and bok choy and then just orders it. And what if she's allergic to shrimp? I don't know. Maybe she shouldn't be there.
Well, she says that sounds good. That's my point, though, is that he sort of says shrimp, you know, spicy broth, bok choy, which I would order that. That sounds delicious. And she says that sounds great. And then he says that she has to order two things. Like, it's just a weird setup.
Well,
I just don't
think
get
with
it.
Hot Pot, you have to pick other things to put in there. And then there is a robot waiter. And this was the moment I realized one day the machine will take my job.
I don't think they will, though.
Okay.
I'm not convinced that this is a thing. It's like once upon a time we had, what were they called? Like automats where you would go in and like choose. And those aren't really, like, we still have vending machines. People still want to sit down and have a person come and talk to them. I don't think we're ever going to get away from that.
And the point of this whole scene is so that the next thing happens where the hostess or manager takes a huge stuffed creature, Tommy Tomato, and puts it at her table so that she doesn't have to eat alone. And so now we are starting that Carrie is alone.
Yes. And I hate this, but it's fine. And now we're in the editing room and talking about Anne Lowe. And this is footage that she got in D.C. I don't know. You talk a little bit. Because this everything is annoying me for some reason.
Well, I think that now I could have forgotten. But do we know if they knew in ahead of time that they were ending this series? I can't remember. I'm sorry.
This is a whole thing that this could be my couldn't help but wonder because I can't help but, well, I don't know.
Okay.
And so maybe let's put it at that and then we'll get back to it later.
Because I feel like they found out that they were ending it before this episode, clearly, because there is just a bunch of loose end tying up, which I think is what this scene is, right? So we have Marion and LTW editing her video. She gets a call. Wait, no, it's a text from Terry Kirk, the person with the link to Michelle Obama.
Well, she feels the need to remind him this is Terry Kirk, who you know from Obama's production. He probably knows that that's where
he probably
they
know
knows,
but once again, we're just trying to wrap it up. And then she finds out that Terry Kirk thinks that Michelle Obama is a little too well known for this series. And LTW is like, see, that's what I was telling people all along. But she's going to pass the rough cut to Michelle to maybe narrate the series. And now Marion's super excited. They are like, we should go to dinner. And Lisa immediately is like, no, this has to be about work. And I thought, and the writer's room did verify that this was a thought, that we were going to find out maybe Marion was gay or that Marion has no interest in Lisa. But no, Marion kind of had the same thought and they're going to reel whatever this is back in.
And I'm fine with that. Like, I'm fine with the idea of let's just let it be what it is, that there is an attraction here. They both feel it. And they both in this moment are like, all right, we need to make sure that we're that we're, you know, doing this the correct way. I'm fine with that. There are just weird things in the scene. Like even her saying that this person being interviewed wouldn't sign the release until she agreed to bring all of her friends to a bridal fashion show. I'm like, that's a crazy thing to do. I feel like just be like, they don't be in my documentary. I don't know. Just
right,
little
but we had
like
to get all the friends to the bridal
fashion
exactly. show.
And that's what it is. But I hate that answer. I hate that we do it for the show. Like I want there to be some logical reason. But
I think
fine.
When you're trying to wrap something up, you just got to wrap it up. Mike is crabby today and this is fun. it's fun for me. I don't know if it's fun for Mike. So now we have Miranda and Steve at dinner, which they're actually at a place that Mike and I have been to before.
It's so funny because I wrote, we're now at a restaurant that I'd like to go to. Oh, I've been to this restaurant.
Yeah, so this is Tacombi in Long Island City, or is it Astoria? I think it's Long Island
City. It's Tacuba. Don't confuse it with Tacombi.
Oh, it's Tacuba. It is different.
Yes.
But we have been here. We were here after we saw our friend Jesse do a modern experimental dance piece as a goat or sheep.
Yes, something like
sheep.
He was
a sheep.
Right.
Yeah, he did this, remember?
Yeah. She's doing little paw motions now. Yeah. You can't see it. But and I looked it up today and it says that it's permanently closed.
Rude.
I know. There's one on 9th Avenue. This is one of those restaurants that every time I go, I'm like, why don't I eat here all the time? It's so good. And then I never go back for some reason.
That's New York City.
It's delicious. Yeah, it's very true.
Miranda and Steve are there. It kind of reminded me of when Miranda and Carrie were at Tortilla Flats, kind of the same vibe. And Steve isn't coming to Thanksgiving. We find that out. But, like, all of these scenes basically have no other purpose than for us to just get a lot of information, which I guess is what happens when you're trying to wrap something up. We also find out Miranda thinks Mia might be an idiot.
Which I like her phrasing of that.
And then Steve feels bad. He yelled at Brady. He shouldn't have said the F word. And Miranda's like, well, what are you going to do? And he's like, I'm going to call him and tell him a lot of F word.
Yeah.
And
it's just supposed to be funny, I guess.
Which gets us to them both having concern about the situation, but Steve being amazing and being Steve and saying, there's no way our grandkid isn't going to know us.
Yeah.
But he does want to know if Mia is pretty. Yeah.
And now we have Adam here naked. It's funny how with every episode, I like Adam a little bit less.
Is this about his naked body? Because that's rude.
No, it's not about that. It's just sort of about his present. He like walks into the room like, here I am with my penis. I don't know. There's something about his behavior. I just find like, even how he's like, you already showered. Bummer. I don't know. Like, it just irritates me.
Spoiler alert. This is what a lot of dudes are like.
Oh, God. That's why I'm single.
And we, Seema is getting ready, and I noticed she has a YSL lipstick, and I only noticed that because I have a YSL lipstick, but I didn't pay full price for it. I got it in my Allure beauty box.
Nice.
Yeah, and we find out really quickly important that Adam thinks weddings are useless, and we see this disappointment immediately on Seema's face.
Yes, we also get the first instance of someone peeing, which is fine. It's a pet peeve of mine that I feel like there's this weird thing on TV and film of like, oh, I'm peeing on screen. It's so edgy, but it's fine. It serves a purpose in both of the scenes.
Well, we get to Harry. Harry peed.
Yeah.
In his pants.
But that served a purpose. Like, that wasn't like, yeah. I don't know. There's something about it when it feels like they're trying to be edgy. And yeah, I guess my other thing with this is like, I don't ever intend to get married. I don't think marriage is ridiculous. Like, I think that you can decide for yourself that marriage isn't a thing. There's just something about the attitude of like, yeah, marriage is ridiculous. Like, I don't know. Like, you don't know how this person feels about it.
It's kind of like how you felt about, I don't believe in Thanksgiving.
Right. Like, you can have a thing that you don't feel like participating in, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It doesn't mean there isn't a point. Like, I don't think marriage is ridiculous. Marriage is a...
I mean, I think, and I'm going to quote Mike Jensen here, it's TV. So we can disagree with their ideas, but we also have to accept the fact that there are people in the world that say ridiculous things.
Sure. But I guess that's my point. You made my point right there, is the ridiculous thing here is him saying it.
Yeah.
I think. Okay.
And so now we have four women in the park, but it's a different grouping of the four women that we don't see that often. It's Carrie, Charlotte, Seema, and LTW.
Usually, and this is why, yeah, I was thrown off in the trailer. I remember referencing this moment being like, and it's four of them, but I can't exactly figure out what four it is. It's very obvious who it is, but I think I was thrown because we're so used to Miranda being somewhere in the mix.
Yeah, we're used to like the odd one being either LTW or Seema. Like, we usually don't get the two of them and not get Charlotte and Miranda. So we have the four of them, and Carrie is talking about the robot doll and being alone. And I love that Charlotte wants to write a Yelp review, because once we've talked about this before, and just like that, how Charlotte is like a mini Karen.
Right.
We've got her that way when they were at that resale shop with the shoes and the pigeon purse, remember?
Yeah, yeah. We get to the bridal show, and I do think it's interesting how this is divided up. That we have the four of them, but it's really two groups of two.
Mm-hmm.
Two are being the unmarried ladies, one unmarried because their husband passed, one being unmarried because they've just never been married, and then we have the two married ladies. And I do think it's interesting that we have them grouped that way. I also was very happy in the Writer's Room podcast that someone pointed out that this is the house of Amsale, and now I feel like I'm saying that wrong, but that's who the designer is. And Amsale Abera, who was born in Ethiopia and is in fact an African-American designer of wedding dresses, because that is sort of a thing we had referenced when we talked about the documentary earlier. Anyways, they mentioned that name in the writer's room, so I wanted to bring it up because I thought that it was good, like, behind-the-scenes stuff. This designer's no longer with us, but the house still is very successful.
Yeah, and what I thought was really cool, too, in this scene, not really cool, but I want to give a shout-out to Kristen Davis, because I think she is incredible at keeping the consistency of Charlotte throughout this whole, like, experience. And I love that we see Charlotte so happy to be here at this wedding expo or fashion show. But Charlotte would be so happy to be there. And we see Seema talking about Adam pissing over marriage, literally.
Right.
And we find something interesting that I wasn't expecting out of Seema, but that Seema says ever since she was a little girl, she dreamed about a wedding. And this is something I kind of disagreed with, because she wants to know, did she really want it or was she programmed to want it? And she does want it, but I think in this moment she's kind of convincing herself that she was programmed to want it because Adam doesn't want it.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And this is probably going to be the storyline in which I am the least satisfied in this finale.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Because I feel like Seema, for someone who this whole series was like going for what she wanted and putting herself first and being strong, I understand that in a relationship, you don't always get to put yourself first, but you do get to advocate for yourself and what you
Correct.
Want.
Correct. And she really doesn't.
No, she doesn't about this. And she asked Carrie why Carrie wanted marriage. And I was thinking, oh, good, we're going to acknowledge here that Carrie was married, which we actually do a couple times in this episode.
Yes.
And Carrie wanted to be married because she felt she was chosen. And I think specifically for her relationship with Big, that was a lot of the reason.
And, you know, Seema wondering, does she feel chosen by Adam? And is that even his responsibility or is it a flaw in me? And like, I feel like this, we could talk about this for hours. Like, I do think that there's something to, it's not someone else's responsibility to make you feel good about yourself. But I also think that's what a partner does.
Yeah.
Like, I think that like a partner that is appropriate for you is going to help you feel better in your own being.
Well, and what I felt was unfortunate about this was that Adam was kind of softening Seema. And not that women need to be softened, but I think that Seema needed to let go of some things and just accept love looking different than, you know, what she maybe had imagined. And it was a good thing for her. But now what he's doing in this moment, I feel like she's losing some of the part of her that was good, which is not like, I think there's a difference between realizing that what you want might look different than what you thought, and also then compromising things that are important to you.
Yeah. And we move on from this conversation to the married ladies sort of talking about how, you know, marriage is also about, you know, not knowing how to help and holding your tongue and cancer. Don't forget about cancer. And Charlotte saying it's not about me right now. And LTW kind of wondering, well, is it ever about us?
Yeah, I just quickly was like, now we move to the part where LTW apparently hates Herbert. It doesn't end that way, but that's what it was looking at.
Right.
And I do like that she asks Charlotte, would you still get married? And Charlotte says, absolutely. And then she says, me too, which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at first I was like, oh, someone's really mad.
And now we're on York at East 89th. We can see sort of the Heavenly Market in the background. And we have Carrie and Charlotte. And Charlotte's excited to show Carrie her new hall. And Carrie sort of like just announces that she's going to be alone.
Yeah. And she mentions even when Big died. And I liked this moment because I think this is something that we all do as people that we are embarrassed to talk about, which is having these crazy dreams that maybe won't happen, but they do give us hope. And she talks about even when Big died, she thought Aiden, maybe Aiden, which is a wild thing that until it happened in the series, no one would have thought Carrie was thinking, oh, maybe this guy that I know is married with these kids is going to come back and be a part of my life.
And I know that I'm coming from a very specific place, but I also kind of want to say to Carrie, maybe just don't worry about it so much. Like, instead of being like, I'm going to be alone now, I'll be alone forever, just be like, this is where I am right now. And I'm not going to be so concerned with like, will I or won't I?
Well, she gets there. And I think the part of the show is we have to like set up a conflict for her to get there. And in the back of her mind, she thought Aiden, maybe Aiden. And she has to think, quit thinking maybe a man and accept maybe just, I wrote, Ken.
Sure.
So don't accept a man, accept Ryan Gosling.
I would accept that. Yeah, I don't know. It's not a tragedy. It's just a fact. And you're so fabulous. And that was never in question. And we get to Lisa at home and Herbert asking how the wedding thing was. And I thought that at first she was going to like ask to renew their vows, but she just sort of renews the vow in this moment.
Yeah, it was illuminating. And they share that they will get over this. And
yeah,
I was
we'll
watching
this
with Mark last night. And I was like, they're acting like this comptroller thing. And Mark illuminated me. He was like, do you understand how difficult it is to run for public office? I don't. and how people and how important the role of comptroller is. We do understand how important comptroller is. We just think it's interesting that not a lot of people know about comptrollers, and maybe we should all research more about comptrollers. And I want to say that I, Herbert, I am sorry if we minimized your pain around losing this election. It is a big deal. We were just annoyed.
And now we're in Carrie's garden and she's bringing Adam coffee and he won't tell what he's planning, so she'll be surprised in the spring.
Yeah, Adam is still working on Carrie's garden. It's Thanksgiving morning. I love Carrie's big sweater, shirt, gown, robe. I like it. Adam refers to Thanksgiving as just a Thursday, and then Carrie sneakily is like, is Seema just a Thursday? And he says, no, she's definitely not. She's a lifetime, which is great for Carrie to have that information. And then she's like, you know what, Adam? You've been working on this garden for years, but F it. Rip it all out. I want something wild.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's, how long has he really been working on it? It's only been this season, so just a few months. But it is that funny thing of her now saying, like, something wild. But I guess this is to symbolize that she's finally ready to, like, make a decision. That we had her first scene in the garden with him of, like, her having no idea what she wanted and just being, like, sort of a blank slate. And now saying, like, no, I'm wild. Let the garden be wild. And it's sort of a callback to the second season finale where she has the reference of running wild and there's sort of the horse in the comparison.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Carrie has a lot more money than we realize is really what I thought of.
Oh, she has so much money. Did you also notice that at one point it looks like he's planting his coffee cup?
I love that. I hope he does. He's like, yeah. You won't know what shows up in the spring. And it's just a coffee cup plant. I was also looking up what this robe was. And on Reddit, someone said, you know, can someone tell me like what this robe is? I did find it. Well, I didn't find it. They found it. And it's a caftan. And it looks like it costs 1,100 euro or Australian dollars, maybe. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be able to afford it.
I don't know the exchange rate. And now Charlotte is basting and Harry is hard.
Yeah, Charlotte is basting a turkey and Harry has a boner. I don't think it's from the turkey, but it could be.
Yeah, it's an interesting out of nowhere boner, but Richard Burton is there and then Lily asks where they're going. And yeah, and they're going to go give thanks. And Lily is strangely tickled by it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I had a thought about this because once again, we're trying to like close this storyline. So we realize that Harry's wiener will work for the rest of their life. And I mean, I get that Lily loves her parents and that her father has been dealing with cancer and that this is huge for him. No pun intended. But Lily's still a teenage girl who is being told by her parents that they're going to run off and have sex. So I think a good like, ew, even if there was a smile would have been, would have been more natural, but who knows? And then we get Carrie in her natural habitat yelling for a taxi.
Yeah. She's at the Petite Pie Place, which is, I guess this is really Michaelis Bakery?
Yeah, I think it's Michaelis or Michaelis. It's on the Upper East Side. I've been there before.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And meet a little more Jackie Hoffman.
Yep. And Carrie has her pie holders, which we discovered are from Amazon from the podcast.
Yeah. And we're doing a pie delivery now where everyone's kind of getting, I guess, the pie that Carrie thinks matches their personality.
Sure. And she gets there and Lily's like, Mom and Dad are effing, but here's the pie. And then we get to Anthony's and we find out that he might be telling Giuseppe that they're not going to get married. So that's fun.
Well, yeah. First we have apple crisp for the Wexleys and the meter is running and then gluten-free for Seema and she's wearing jeans, which is apparently scandalous. And yeah, the chocolate cream for Anthony who bailed because he has to tell Giuseppe today after dinner. I'm like, or you could just not tell him on Thanksgiving, but yeah. I guess this is the season finale, so you have to have the conversation.
Correct. And then we get to Miranda's and we find out Joy is not coming either.
Yes, because her dog is sick, maybe air quote sick, and we see Brady making mashed potatoes and the guest list has dropped from 13 to 6.
Which I'm wondering who are the other people, which we'll find out.
Right.
Yeah, and Miranda doesn't believe that Joy's dog is really sick and Carrie's like, well then why don't you just ask her? Which she does.
Yeah, I do like that in this moment, we have a moment of like, hey, instead of stewing about this, why don't you just call her and see what's going on?
Yeah, I don't know if that's a character growth moment as much as they had to get this figured out because the series is ending. But we find out that Sappho swallowed something sharp and Miranda is running to the clinic. Okay. I think it's more to just get Miranda out of the house. And now Carrie made a cheats plate, maybe, and Mia and her friend show up, and Carrie answers, and the friend is like, she doesn't look crazy. And we meet Silvio and Epcot. Silvio is rude.
Silvio is rude, and I guess that I understand that we're blanketing it and like, oh, he just goes off. Like, he's just right. like that. And I'm like, no, he's rude. Like, he's rude.
Yeah.
That's really what it is.
I mean, they're all kind of rude, but Silvio's very rude. Epcot is gluten and dairy free, but not. And
but not at all.
And Mia is being weird and only eats seaweed and cucumbers. And this is one of those moments that was thrown in the show because one of the writers met someone who also was like this.
Yes.
And then we hear a knock on the door and it's Mark Kasabian.
And Carrie lets him know that Charlotte won't be there.
And in the back. And,
oh, did you yeah. oh, you had the background here?
Yeah,
as well?
I have the captions on because like you don't hear it as well. So you kind of needed the caption on, but you hear Epcot saying, Epcot, who is named Epcot because their parents love Disney.
Yes.
You hear Epcot say they took the day off to be here. I mean, I'm unemployed, but I was going to go to a protest. And then you have Silvio in the background saying he doesn't feel the vibe right now.
Yeah, it's pretty funny background stuff going on there. And Carrie introducing Mark to Brady, and Mark has brought his favorite Pinot Noir, but Brady's off to get seaweed and shit. Don't let the turkey burn.
Okay.
I'm just saying you should leave more instructions than that. As someone who's like made several turkeys, I would know the turkey's not going to burn for at least 3-4 hours.
And also,
so you'll be fine.
You're telling the woman who notoriously kept sweaters in her oven.
So as Mia keeps telling Brady, like, oh, you didn't do it, it's kind of on you, this is the one that's actually kind of on Brady.
Right.
Because he's alluding to the fact that the turkey might burn by saying, don't let it burn. Whereas he should say, the turkey's not going to burn.
Just leave it.
Just keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Brady leaves, and now Mark enters the living room with Carrie to get told that he looks like the mayor of Whoville. Rude. And now we cut to Joy and Miranda at the vet. And is this the same vet Che worked at?
No, because this is Bond Vet on the Upper East Side. This is on 3rd between 86 and 87. And I only know that because across the street is an AMC that I go to in your neighborhood every once in a while.
Oh, well, I also know that I think Che worked at a Bond Vet, but it was a different Bond Vet.
It was the one in Hell's Kitchen that, that Che worked at.
Okay,
so it's
that
a different location. It would have been funny if they just sort of like all walked into each other. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I noticed that. I'm like, oh, I know that AMC. That's the weird AMC where all the theaters are like subterranean. So I will sometimes leave the theater and get like 85 messages that I didn't get while I was watching a movie.
There's also been furry friends there, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, they have. There's some pals that hang out down there. Also, it's kind of weird because it's one of those ones that clearly has seen busier days. So the snack bar on the main floor is full. And then if you go downstairs, it's like the snack bar has been like strip mined.
Weird.
Yeah.
And then Mark is trying to get Carrie to come to his East Hampton house.
Right. Well, we sort of just skipped over everything that happens at the vet.
Oh, dog's fine.
Dog is fine. That is kind of what it is. Yeah. So, yeah, I like that he brings up his East Hampton house. You need someone to share it with. And honestly, I'm like, I don't. I'd like to just go to that house and hang out with no one around.
Yeah, you can stay home, Mark. And then Charlotte shows up with the stuffing because her and Harry had sex. I thought she was saying, we don't have to celebrate Thanksgiving at my house now because Harry's all fine. But no, she's just dropping off the stuffing because she was getting stuffed when Carrie came over.
Wah, wah, wah.
And then we find out Charlotte is trying to set her up with Mark. Because she was sad Carrie didn't think there was a man for her. And naturally, the next progression of this is just to cut to Silvio voguing.
Yes. Yeah, we also established that he has a plane, which Charlotte thinks is an important thing for Carrie to know. And yeah, I wrote, Silvio is dancing?
Yeah, and Silvio is a dancer. Like, the actual actor that plays Silvio, I looked up and is a very amazing dancer. But Silvio is voguing. Miranda gets home. And now Mia and friends are voguing and rudely asking for bathrooms.
Yeah, Epcot needs the bathroom. And yeah, I don't know. Miranda tries to greet Silvio and ask him to turn the music down a little. And Brady lets everyone know the turkey is raw because Carrie had taken the turkey out earlier thinking that if worse comes to worse, you could throw it back in the oven. Once again, this is kind of on Brady.
Yeah. And Mia is now having cheese, even though she said she only eats seaweed and cucumber. Silvio declares that Miranda doesn't seem crazy either, and now Epcot takes a big dump.
Yeah, a lot's happening here, where Mia actually kind of defends Miranda in this moment, that she would never disrespect her mother like that, and the mother you blocked on Facebook, which I guess Mia had told Miranda in privacy. Also, we skipped something earlier that happened that I have to bring up only because when Carrie takes Charlotte aside to have the conversation in the bedroom, and Charlotte says, "Who are those people with Mama Mia?" I wrote, literally just got that joke. Had not even put together that her name is Mia and she's going to be a mama. Like, literally until my second time watching this episode, that joke had not made any sense to me. That's all.
Well, we talk about it, though, in the episode before where it was like Mama Mia.
I know. I thought it was just a toss off. It didn't make any kind of connection to me at all.
Mike is dumb.
Just saying, there are certain things that, like, I hear them the 8th time or the 800th time, and I'm like, oh, that's what that means. That's funny.
Maybe you just need to hear me talk more to find me funny then.
Maybe. We'll keep doing this for 8 more years.
Okay. And then now dinner is over and everyone left except Mark. During this post-mortem dinner conversation, we do find out that Epcot continuously shat all evening.
Yes.
Well, they all ate and ran, except for Mark. What was she even thinking?
I don't know. Charlotte convinced herself that I'd get on board with Mark because he has a plane. And when he comes out of that powder room, I guarantee he is going to ask if he can take me home.
In his plane?
And I will have to let him because of what you and your extended family put that man through. Oh, God, my new relationship is exhausting.
I personally apologize to everyone, except the one who spent the meal in and out of the powder room. Who was that again?
Epcot, how could you forget that?
Epcot, right.
Which is important information because Mark is now peeing and flushes, and turds are coming out of the toilet viciously. I've never seen Revenge of the Turds as I have in this moment. There are turds everywhere.
Yeah, it's pretty upsetting. And then this all kind of gets pushed aside when Mark comes out, announces what's happening in the bathroom, and then says that he has to leave.
Yeah, so the turds, Epcot saved the day.
Yes.
And now Miranda is scrubbing the poo, and Joy comes over. What did she do with all the turds that were all over the floor? I don't know.
I kind of have the same question. I don't really want to know, other than Miranda saying that 6 months ago she was free and easy. And I'm like, were you?
Yeah. No.
I'm not sure that I agree with that, but okay.
Joy comes over for some pie, and Joy is like, you spent the holiday with my family. I can spend it with yours. Except no one is there except the turds. So apparently Miranda's family is just turds. And then Carrie leaves, and Carrie is back at her house. And I'm surprised all she has is one pie, but I guess she did deliver all the pies.
Well, it's funny because I didn't realize it was a pie yet. I thought that she had like a little plate of leftovers. I actually wrote earlier in my notes.
Yeah, I don't know why no one took home leftovers, but I guess there was no turkey, so they just ate everything else.
They just ate all the mashed potatoes.
Yeah, and Epcot ate all the cheese in New York City. And now she turns on the karaoke machine, not to sing, just to have some backtrack music.
Well, I wrote, what is she gonna sing?
You're the first, my last, my everything.
But it's just the karaoke track. And she also goes to almost take her shoe off and then doesn't.
Yeah, she's like, F you.
Which I guess is meant to be a moment of like, well, no, this is my house now. I don't have to care about anyone else. And I guess that their idea of this was that we're now gonna set up of sort of these family scenes that are happening elsewhere, juxtaposed by Carrie being at peace in the quiet of her own house, which I'm fine with. It doesn't feel like, none of the scenes are that chaotic, so it doesn't really feel like it's that big of a deal that she's alone in her house. But
I mean,
that's sort of what this is supposed to
represent. And I
also
think metaphorically, right, all of these people are eating pie that Carrie brought to them. So maybe it's kind of this piece that's saying, even as someone by yourself, you are bringing so much to other people.
Sure. Yeah. And we get Anthony and Giuseppe, and after all this time together.
Yeah. You think I only asked you to marry me to be my mom? And then Giuseppe pies Anthony in the face and they laugh and kiss. So I guess they're still going to get married.
Yeah.
And then we're at the Goldenblatt house, and Rock wants to see their photo, but Charlotte deleted it because she didn't think you'd want to be seen that way. And Rock says, I'm going to be so many people in my life. And don't worry, Lily has a ton of photos. So over pie, the Goldenblatt family looks at the illegal photos taken at Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Yeah. And Herbert is serving himself a large helping of pie because he's not in the public eye anymore, and then won't let Lisa clean because she cooked all day.
He's got this mess.
I got this mess. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's also messily scooping that pie.
Yeah, it's quite the scooping.
And then Carrie then just scoops the pie right out of the crust because it's just her.
Well, and I wrote, oh, it's a pie.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't know it was a pie until this moment.
Yeah, no, she takes the worst way to take a piece of pie, but it's just her, so who cares? Which
right.
is why
I
think
they
do it.
This was Sarah Jessica Parker's idea, that originally she was supposed to get a plate and cut the pie, and that Sarah Jessica was like, no, I'm just going to use a spoon and take a scoop. Like, it's just me. Like, what do I care about cutting the pie? And I was like, oh, I guess I see that. I think I would probably still cut a slice because I'm me. But
and then really quickly we get to Seema in her jeans saying, I don't miss the gluten. And I don't know if this is supposed to reference that Seema, like, is going to let go of some more things and won't miss them.
I don't. No, because this is, once again, this storyline is the thing that bothers me the most in this episode. And I'm going to also just momentarily say, being vegan and being gluten-free are incredibly different things. People in general, I'm not saying 100%, everyone has different reasons for doing things. People in general are usually vegan for like moral reasons. Like they don't believe that animals should be our food. I don't think anyone is gluten-free for moral reasons. You are gluten-free for dietary reasons. And now once again, I understand that there might be someone on either end that is for moral and or health reasons, but I don't. There's something about the combination of this that kind of bothers me. And I suppose it's because as someone who cannot consume gluten, I don't do it because I morally am opposed to gluten. I do it because when I eat it, it hurts me.
Do they say that they're morally opposed to
they
gluten?
They don't. They don't say that. It's just a weird grouping. So that's the only thing
I think it's pretty common. I think a lot of vegan people also tend to be gluten-free because they're also very health conscious.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's not uncommon. But I do think now that if you're someone who struggles with the idea of getting married because your partner doesn't want to get married, just eat a gluten-free pie. Apparently your views will be changed.
It all gets better.
Yeah, and then we have Joy and Miranda really quickly just being like, I like the pie. You like the pie? Great.
I like lemons. They like this. And I get, yeah.
So that solved everything there.
Yeah.
And then we get to the epilogue.
And then we have Shu.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't see Shu. Sorry.
How did you not see Shu? She was in the center of the frame.
I was very sleepy.
Oh. Yeah, Carrie defeats the epilogue, but she doesn't. She deletes the epilogue that she wrote. And the woman realized she was not alone. She was on her own. They're so proud of that line.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like that second sentence sounds more hopeful than the first sentence.
No, I get what they're trying to do here.
Right, same. I get what they're trying to do.
I think another word would have helped. Like, the woman realized she was not alone. She was happily on her own.
Great.
Or she was
great. I love
grateful
that.
To be on her own.
I love that. There's just something. Yeah, you're right. There's something missing in it. It doesn't quite hit it like I think they think it hits.
Because you hear on my own. And for me, I just hear Les Mis and I hear Eponine and I hear her sad about it.
Right.
No. But when you hear I'm on my own, sometimes it can be taken the same way as saying like, oh, I'm alone.
Yeah. And I guess for me, what I wanted this to be, and this is just me saying what I wanted it to be. I wanted it to be, it wasn't that she was alone. It's that her future had unlimited possibility.
Yeah.
Because that's what this feels like to me. And that's the hopeful message that I would have liked to have gotten. And we get Carrie walking around the house and now she's starting to sing along. And I don't know. We end on an empty hallway and then the old school theme song plays. Which that was a cool music cue to end on. Like, I was sort of into that. And if you keep watching the credits, it eventually segues into the old credits song that used to play as well. And that was sort of their nod. And I don't know. I guess, like, I couldn't help but wonder how much notice did they have that this was going to be the last episode? Because my other thing that I want to say about it is this wasn't a long episode. This episode was under 40 minutes long. All that I really think that it needed was a little bit more. I just wanted a little bit more. I wanted a scene with Seema and Adam not at the party where maybe she'd said something like, I just need to know that it's a possibility. I don't need to know that you're going to marry me, but I need to know that it's a possibility. And maybe the gluten-free living made her not need that possibility anymore. But it just felt like that felt so incomplete to me. And I understand that if season finale or a series finale doesn't mean that in theory these people's lives go on. But overall, I found this to be a pretty good episode, an okay season finale, and a pretty lackluster series finale.
I agree. First of all, I want to say Seema got rid of gluten, so there's no longer any pastabilities.
Hilarious.
But I do agree with you. I think that what the fans probably wanted to would have been like, hey, let's open it up with a quick button on the Seema storyline, a quick button on the LTW storyline.
That's all.
And then let's get back to, because we've only known these people for like 3 years.
Right.
But we've known these other women for 20 plus years. And I'm not saying that those characters are not important and that these actresses didn't do wonderful jobs. They were incredible. They're both extremely talented, wonderful people whose storylines we have enjoyed, but we can tie them up. I would have loved somehow for Samantha to be included. That would have been nice. And not just because we're not only wrapping up And Just Like That, they've made it clear that this is the end of the universe. So
yeah,
it would have just been nice. You know, I mean, I'm not going to lie. It would have been nice to get a call from Skipper to say, hey, Carrie, your laptop's been repaired. You can pick it up whenever you're ready.
Because in reality, we didn't even get the three primary characters in a room together in this episode.
Right.
Which feels wild. It feels like a wild thing to have not done.
Yeah. Some more Steve would have been nice. You know, Bitsy. Why wasn't she invited to that fashion show? I guess that's consistent, though. But I just think I wish there would have been a longer episode. I wish we would have, if they were going to do this, I wish they would have just done ridiculous and like brought back everything. Been like, you know what, guys, this is ending anyway. Let's just like make this outrageous. And
yeah, I don't know. I just wanted a little more. Mm-hmm. I just wanted a little more to kind of like give us a sense of closure. But it's fine. This is what we get. And, you know, it doesn't take away from Sex and the City and from the episodes that I love from back in the day. And there were things that happened in this series, and we won't get too broad with it. I think we'll probably come back next week or the week after and kind of do a
wrap
overall goodbye to the entire. Yeah. But yeah, that's it.
I guess I couldn't help but wonder what Adam's planting.
Sure. And we're never going to find out.
It's marijuana.
Probably.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will be back maybe next week, maybe the week after to do sort of an overall look back, and we'll see how that goes. But I hope people enjoyed it. I didn't hate it. I just wish it had been more. I just wish we had gotten more. That's all.
I agree.
All right. Well, we will talk to you later. All right.
Bye.
Bye. For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation. You can listen to my other podcast, Mike and Vanya Can't Not, wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link, or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. As always, take care of yourself, and let's take care of each other.
And the comments on it are hilarious. Someone wrote, the bigger question is, why is it taking months to finish a garden that can't take more than 200 square feet? He's the first gardener in history on a retainer. You're telling the woman who notoriously kept sweaters in her oven. Charlotte shows up with the stuffing because her and Carrie, not Carrie, that's a different show, because her and Harry had sex. I thought she was...
Yikes.
Thank you.
And Carrie has told Miranda that when Mark comes out, he's going to ask her to go home. Ask to go home. Okay. I just had a moment. That when Mark comes out of the powder room, he's going to ask to take her home and...